I've just seen Oppenheimer by Christopher Nolan, and I need some time to digest it. It's definitely interesting. Definitely too long. Definitely well made, well shot, well written, well acted, hell of a cast. I had some issues with it. I thought the trial period went on a bit too long at the end of the movie. I thought they definitely could have shaved off some time there. They could have shaved off some time in the middle. It started to sag a little. I thought kind of like beginning of the second act. So they could have saved some time there. And I just don't see why it needed to be so long. You're covering a man's life, a real life. I wouldn't exactly call this a biopic, though. It doesn't focus on his childhood at all, which is good. It kind of starts with the college years and then gets into just past, not just past the trial. It really kind of ends during the trial period. I thought this was kind of the interesting time in his life, kind of the meat of his life, if you will. So I thought it was good that they covered that. And there's a conversation between Albert Einstein and J. Robert Oppenheimer, while he's at Princeton. That is kind of the pivotal moment in the movie, and the Strauss character, played by Robert Downey Jr., who ends up trying to sabotage Oppenheimer. Or I should say, not the Strauss character, but Strauss, because he was a real guy, I believe. He tries to sabotage him, and he believes that this conversation is about him, because Einstein is cold to him when he walks up to where the two of them are standing and talking. It turns out it's not about him. It's about blowing up the world, and Oppenheimer believes that they sort of did blow up the world. You know, there was this notion that this chain reaction could be set off by the bomb, the atomic bomb, and it could conceivably blow up the entire world. And Oppenheimer, as it turns out, at the end, the movie ends with this conversation. As it turns out, Oppenheimer believes that they sort of did blow up the world, that this actually did happen. Which is an interesting concept, and I think it has some truth to it. And I think Oppenheimer is an interesting... Well, yeah, I can call him a character, I think. I think he's an interesting character, and I think he's a conflicted character. He is the hero of the movie, and he is morally conflicted. And that is the central conflict, I think, in a way, of the movie, is his internal conflict. He knows that what they're doing is wrong, but they're also fighting, fascism, which is also wrong. And he's a scientist, and he did the job that he was hired to do. And at one point, the Matt Damon character, he plays this general, he's a very important character, he says that we gave them an ace, it's up to them to play the hand. So, in other words, the American government, the military, really, is what he's talking about, I believe. It's up to them to play the hand. They dropped the bomb. Truman, President Harry Truman, dropped the bomb. It wasn't Oppenheimer who dropped the bomb. Another really interesting thing I thought about the movie was Los Alamos. They built this town out in New Mexico in order to build the bomb and then also to test the bomb. In the Trinity tests. And this is all covered in the movie. It's all interesting. I don't know if I ever knew that about. I knew about the Trinity test, but I don't know if I ever knew that about Los Alamos, that they actually built a town. There was like a makeshift town there. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know what the deal is. I'm sure there's radiation there, so you can't go there, but. And it's also government property, I would assume. Anyway, so I got some history from the movie. And there's this weird parallel between this and Asteroid City, this idea of this, like, man-made city out in the desert of New Mexico. Asteroid City kind of has a Los Alamos vibe. They're very different movies, but I just think that it's interesting that they both came out this summer. And in that aspect, they're both dealing with similar subject matter. But the rest of the movies couldn't be more different. It's just that one element that overlaps. I had the same problem with Oppenheimer, or some of the same problems with Oppenheimer that I have with most Christopher Nolan movies. First of all, they're bland. They're bland to look at visually. Even though I thought some of the shots were nice. I think they're nice, like they're fine, but they're not... I wouldn't call them beautiful. Even though some shots are borderline beautiful. So they're bland visually, aesthetically, but also in the storytelling, the dialogue, the writing. It's all a bit bland, and I don't want to say dry. It's not dry, per se. It's just bland. It's just flavorless. So I had that problem. I thought this was superior to Tenet. I thought Tenet looked faintly ridiculous when compared to this, even though this movie is faintly ridiculous at times. And it even dips into melodrama, especially at the end with the acting and some of the dialogue. But I kind of liked that. I thought that was kind of fun. I thought Dunkirk was superior. But Dunkirk was more of an experience. It was more of a visual experience and an auditory experience. Although this definitely had that. This was more historical drama. Whereas Dunkirk was more giving you action and putting you on the battlefield and putting you into that experience of being in World War II. This was outside of the war, outside of battle scenes. This was courtrooms and man-made buildings and classrooms. And it should have been more of a character and dialogue piece. It definitely was. But it's really the cutting that starts to get to me with Nolan. It's the editing. There are just too many cuts, and you can never sink into a character speaking and giving their dialogue. You can never sink into their dialogue because it's always cutting. It's constantly cutting away from characters who are speaking. And I think there are some interesting things that happen with the editing, and I thought there was some interesting dialogue in this movie. Some pretty decent, I mean, not pretty decent, some decent dialogue. And it was interesting, and it did give you history and historical context, and I learned things from this movie. It taught me things that I didn't know previously. But I just, as with all Christopher Nolan movies now, I never felt like I could fully sink in. Even with Dunkirk, I just could never, like, fully get into it. Even though I now consider it to be maybe one of the best movies of the 2010s. I just... yeah. So the way it kind of cut and jumped around in time, that aspect of the editing I thought was kind of nice and kind of interesting. It does jump around in time. And in that way, it's referencing Pulp Fiction. It's bookended by a trial. Even though it's really the kind of small, not in a courtroom, but like the small kind of interrogation scenes are what is bookending, or what is bookending the movie. I don't know if you call those interrogation scenes. I don't know what you call those, the questioning scenes, gathering information. In that way, it sort of references The Social Network.